Morning. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 22. We're going to finish off this book today. Okay, 1 Kings 22. And 3 years passed without war between Aram and Israel. And it came about in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. Now the king of Israel said to his servants, "Do you know that Ramoth-Gilead belongs to us? We're still doing nothing to take it out of the hand of the king of Aram." And he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to battle at Ramoth-Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." Moreover, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Please inquire first for the word of the Lord." Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, "Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain?" They said, "Go up, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him?" And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah." But Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, "Bring quickly Micaiah, son of Imlah." Now the king of Judah, or king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting each on his throne, arrayed in their robes, and the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets were prophesying before them. Then Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, made horns of iron for himself, and said, "Thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Arameans until they are consumed." And all the prophets were prophesying thus, saying, "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." Then the messenger who went to summon Micaiah spoke to him, saying, "Behold now, the words of the prophet are uniformly favorable to the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them, and speak favorably." But Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I will speak." When he came to the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain?" And he answered him, "Go up and succeed, and the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." Then the king said to him, "How many times must I adjure you to speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" So he said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let each of them return to his house in peace.'" Then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?" And Micaiah said, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him, and his right and on his left. And the Lord said, 'Who will entice Ahab to go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead?' And one said this, while another said that. Then the spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, 'I will entice him.' And the Lord said to him, 'How?' And he said, 'I will go out and be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets.' Then he said, 'You are to entice him and also prevail. Go and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all these your prophets, and the Lord has proclaimed disaster against you.' Then Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, came near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, 'How did the spirit of the Lord pass from me to speak to you?' And Micaiah said, 'Behold, you shall see on that day when you enter an inner room to hide yourself.' Then the king of Israel said, 'Take Micaiah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son. And thus says, thus says the king, put this man in prison and feed him sparingly with bread and water until I return safely.' And Micaiah said, 'If you indeed return safely, the Lord has not spoken by me.' And he said, 'Listen, all you people.'" So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up against Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "I will disguise myself and go into the battle, but you put on your robes." So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. Now the king of Aram had commanded the 32 captains of his chariots, saying, "Do not fight with small or great, but with the king of Israel alone." So it came about when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, "Surely it is the king of Israel." And they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. Then it happened when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel that they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew his bow at random and struck the king of Israel in a joint of the armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, "Turn around, take me out of the fight, for I'm severely wounded." And the battle raged that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot in front of the Arameans and died at evening, and the blood of the wound ran into the bottom of the chariot. Then a cry passed through the army close at sunset to sunset, saying, every man to his city and every man to his country. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And they washed the chariot by the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood. Now the harlots bathed themselves there, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke. Now the rest of the acts of Ahab and all that he did, and the ivory house which he built, and all the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Ahab slept with his fathers, and Ahaziah his son became king in his place. Now Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, became king over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab, king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhi. And he walked in all the way of Asa, his father. He did not turn aside from it, doing right in the sight of the Lord. However, the high places were not taken away, and the people still sacrificed and burnt incense on the high places. Jehoshaphat also made peace with the king of Israel. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat and his might which he showed and how he warred, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And the remnant of the Sodomites who remained in the days of his father Asa, he expelled from the land. Now there was no king in Edom, a deputy was king. Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold, but they did not go, for the ships were broken at Ezion-Geber. Then Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, let my servants go with your servants in the ships. But Jehoshaphat was not willing. And Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of his father David, and Jehoram, his son, became king in his place. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel and Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he reigned 2 years over Israel. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. So he served Baal and worshipped him and provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger according to all that his father had done. Amen. So some time passes from the last war with the Arameans, most likely because the Arameans were humiliated at this time. So they come to this place, and for whatever reason, King Jehoshaphat decides to go now and basically hang out with Ahab. And Ahab turns and says, I think we should go and take this land. Remember, a few chapters before, when Ahab was victorious over Ben-Hadad, Ben-Hadad told him that I'll give you back all the land that my father had taken from your father. I don't know if you remember that. But Ahab didn't do that, and thus Ramoth-Gilead, which was Ramoth-Gilead is important because this was one of the cities of the Levites. And so he says, oh, you know, we should go take this land back. And so even though the Arameans had lost, they did not fulfill their treaty that they had set before Ahab. So Ahab feels like he has divine right, which he does in that regard, and also the treaty also stands. But the treaty is not been played out, and so Jehoshaphat goes, and Ahab says, hey, I think we should go take this holy city, probably appealing to Jehoshaphat, who is a holy man. He's a good king. So they go out, and look at verse 5. This is really important. Well, Jehoshaphat says, okay, what's mine is yours and whatever. Verse 5, this is a difference between a man of God and not a man of God. This is a difference between a God who, or a king who follows God, and a king that does not follow God. All wrapped up in one verse. Verse 5, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire first for the word of the Lord. The man of God ask the Lord first. The man of God doesn't go off and do what he wants to do. The man of God goes and talks to God first. Lord, what shall I do? Lord, shall I date this person? Lord, shall I take this job? Lord, should I marry this person? Lord, yeah, you guys understand what I'm saying, right? Lord, which house church should I go to? The man of God asks God first. The person that's not a man of God does whatever they want and then asks God to bless him. This is a religious, not man of God. I don't know if that, you know, that's such a term, but you guys have met plenty of people. Trust me, I've met plenty of people that run in this line. Basically do whatever they want and then ask God to bless them. And then obviously God's kind of like, I never even asked you to do this thing. Doesn't work out. And then they get mad at God. They get bitter. And it's like so many stories like this, unfortunately, of really immature Christians. But this is really the key. Jehoshaphat says, okay, you want to take off Ramoth-Gilead? It sounds good, and it's your right to do this because this is given to you by treaty, but let's go talk to the Lord first. And we cannot bypass the importance of this in whatever we're doing. God speaks to his people, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. The book of Jesus tells us in the book of John. So the king of Israel, we'll get back to this point later. The king of Israel goes, he gets the 400 prophets. Now, these were prophets, I don't want to say prophets of God, but these were not the Baal and the Asherah prophets. Remember, he already killed the Baal ones, and the Asherah, we don't know what happened to these guys. These are false prophets that basically do not hear from the Lord, and it's just the king of assembled yes men, basically. And Jehoshaphat, being a man of God, he has some discernment. And so these guys come out. I mean, 400 of them come out, and they start prophesying to the Lord. Says, yes, you shall go up. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king. And then Jehoshaphat, look at his response. It could be kind of disrespectful in some ways. Verse 7, Jehoshaphat said, is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? He goes, that's great. You have all these prophets, but can we have a prophet of the Lord? You know, I mean, this is really interesting. Jehoshaphat's got a lot of discernment. He's like, he recognized, no, these are your prophets. These are not God's prophets. And brothers and sisters, you're going to run into these kinds of people as well. And they're not prophets of the Lord. They're prophets for their own. They do whatever's, you know, right for themselves. I mean, it's amazing. And so the, you know, Ahab rightfully says, well, there's one. And remember, Micaiah is the prophet that spoke against Ahab when he spared Ben-Hadad during that time. And so he threw him into prison there. And so he says, I have one, but he never says any good things. He never prophesies good things to me. And as if Ahab puts all the blame on Micaiah, and it's really simple. The reason why you don't get prophesied good things is because you're an evil man. He doesn't make this connection. He's so far removed. He's so unaware of himself and his actions. And so so they call out Micaiah. Micaiah comes out, and this is actually quite a comical passage. So Zedekiah is the head of these false prophets, of these 400. And he makes these horns of iron. And the only reason why this is important is this is what Arameans, this is what other false, you know, guys have done. They've made these horns, and sometimes they put candles in these horns. And I mean, it's all kind of ceremonial. And he says, you know, this is what you're going to do. You're going to take this, and you're going to basically gore the Arameans with it. And so the idea of that he's basically, Micaiah is coming to town. Zedekiah knows that Micaiah is a true prophet of the Lord. So he makes this instrument and he does this show basically to try to give a bigger presentation of what he believes is going to happen. So Micaiah comes down. He speaks this word, and verse 15, so the king says, Micaiah, should we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or should we refrain? And he answered, go up and succeed, and the Lord will give it into the hand of the king. Now, it sounds like, whoa, there must have been something in his face. He's being sarcastic, and he was basically mocking the other 400 prophets at this place. How do we know? The king says to him, he says, how many times must I adjure you to speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? So most likely, Micaiah was probably rolling his eyes. He was making fun of the other prophets. He's not prophesying, go up. He's he's mocking the other 400 prophets. And so the king of Israel says, okay, hey, quit messing around, man. All right, I tell you, tell me. And then he says, all right, I'll tell you the word of the Lord. You're going to die. Basically, it's going to be, shepherds are going to be struck down. The sheep are going to be scattered, you know, all over the place. And then he begins to share why the other prophets have done this. And now, this is important. What he says, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. You don't take this literally. This is not a situation that's necessarily happened in heaven. He's just sharing a story to relay this truth of this is why these prophets have been deceived in this regard. All the biblical scholars, even Josephus in church history, in the Jewish history, they relate that this was a vision. It wasn't like a true story per se. It's not a myth, but it's an illustration to illustrate in colorfully what happens here. Because the Bible speaks very clearly that God does not tempt us with evil. And if you read it face value, that's exactly what it seems like, but it's something different. And so it so incenses Zedekiah that he hits Micaiah on the cheek. And so if you get an idea, he basically, the way that it's written out, Zedekiah takes his shoe off and smacks him in the face. And this goes back to the Arab tradition of the worst kind of insult is to throw your shoes. Do you remember when that Muslim guy, or I forgot who it was, threw that shoe at President Bush ages ago? You know, in the Western media, it was like, what a weird dude, threw his shoe, right? But, you know, in the Arab world, this is the worst thing that, like, the worst, not necessarily penalty, but the most shameful thing that you can do to another person, you know, outside of killing them, is to throw your shoe or hit them with your shoe. That's exactly what Zedekiah does. He smacks him, and he says, how did the Spirit of the Lord pass from me to speak to you? And obviously, it's very simple, because you don't have the Spirit of the Lord. It's very easily done. And all this happens, so Ahab is incensed at Micaiah, and he says, send him back to prison. That's how we know he was in prison. And now, just feed him bread and water. That was the worst punishment of sustenance that you can give while you're in prison. And Micaiah says, all right, if God's not spoken to me, then, or if you come back, then God has not spoken to me. So let everyone hear, this is truly the word of the Lord. Now, something interesting happens here. Jehoshaphat does not listen to Micaiah. Ahab listens to Micaiah. How do we know that? Ahab says, okay, Jehoshaphat, you go wear your kingly robe, okay? I'm going to disguise myself. And this is the foolishness of Ahab. He thinks that he can subvert whatever the prophecy is. So he disguises himself as just a common soldier. And this is where Jehoshaphat, I think he learns his lesson. We know that he learns his lesson because in verse 49, it says, Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, let my servants go with your servants in the ships. And Jehoshaphat said, no. And so he learned not to trust Ahab or his sons. And, you know, whatever reason, I mean, he asked for the man of God. The man of God comes and says, you're going to lose. And Joshua still goes. I just don't get that one. It's like a major brain fart that happens with Jehoshaphat. So, but they go out. Ahab believes the word. But because he's so full of himself, he believes that he can thwart the prophecy of the Lord. He is like above the prophecy. If he can work and maneuver and do what he does, he can go past that. But we know that that's not what happens. And so the king of Aram says, when you go out, just kill, right? Just go after the king of Israel. Just go after Ahab. You know, they think it's Jehoshaphat. He cries out. They realize it's not him. So they go after him. And then, look at this. A certain man, we don't even know his name. A certain man, a nobody, drew his bow at random. Now, the bow probably had poison on it. Psh, puts the arrow out, and it happens to strike him. You know, in the Israeli armor, there's only one place where they are susceptible to anything, and it's right at the joint where the arm and the breastplate. And so can you imagine how difficult that is? Because most of the armor actually goes over, but there's this tiny, and it's got to be like just at the right angle. And the arrow comes and right in the joint of the armor, and he dies in this place. And just like the prophet said, that the dogs will lick up your blood, because it's actually from the chariot, the blood that was remained, the dogs came and licked up his blood, and he dies in that place. Listen, no matter how smart we think, no matter how clever or powerful we think, you can never run away from the will of God. Many are the plans of a man's heart, but the plans of the Lord, they shall prevail. You can never run away. And even, I mean, just this random arrow. Now, we know, knowing enough about the Lord, that this was not a random arrow. That it was strategically placed in with precision to confirm the word of the Lord through Micaiah, the prophet, in this regard. And, I mean, it's just absolutely amazing, the story that plays out here. And then, you know, we have the new ruler, basically summary statement of Jehoshaphat, and then Ahaziah, and so I don't need to, you know, really get into that in this regard. But this becomes the penalty of disobedience before the Lord, and Ahab finally succumbs. So let's close our eyes. Two important points. So, a man of God, the man of God asks the Lord first. That's, I would say, step one. Step two is, when the man of God hears the word of the Lord, he obeys the word of the Lord. So, it's a two-step process. You ask God first, and then you obey. Jehoshaphat asked the Lord first, but then he disobeyed. Ahab, interesting enough, doesn't even inquire the Lord, but once it comes, he doesn't obey either, but he thinks he's being smarter than that, and he tries to orchestrate a situation. But I think really good lessons for us, and a rather great way to end First Kings. And then, actually, you know, when we get to the Chronicles, we're going to be reading these passages again in a different light. So it's going to be kind of nice. Different perspective. So let the Holy Spirit speak to us. When we are confronted with situations, number one, do we first ask the Lord? Or do we do what we want to do and then ask God to bless it? Wrong order. And then when God speaks, do we obey? Even if it doesn't make sense to us. Even if we don't want to. These guys wanted to take Ramoth-Gilead so bad, they disobey the word of the Lord. So step one, hear from God. Step two, obey what you heard from God. This is the characteristics of the man or woman of God. Let's pray.
Given you my heart, all that is within, I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams. I'm laying down my rights. I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And
let's pray this morning. Let's set it in our heart that we will go and talk to the Lord first. Whatever situation comes and whatever circumstances that we're faced with, let's set in our hearts that, God, I want to hear from you first and then obey what you have to say. Really, it's actually quite simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. Go to the Lord first, hear from Him, and then obey. And this morning, let's resolve in our hearts that this is what we're going to do. We're going to go to the Lord, we're going to hear from Him, we're going to obey what He asks. That's the man or woman of God. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness, cancer. Let's pray for God's healing. Pray for those that are going through the therapies. Let's ask God's touch upon them. Let's pray for our community that are bound through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for God's word of healing and that word of salvation. Let's pray for our community going through non-cancer-related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing. Pray for our community looking for work. And let's pray for God's provision and His open doors. Our mission focus is pray for Japan, and particularly Pastor Sophia. Pray for her new ministry role, her language learning, that God would continue to use her and bless her as she just speaks and prophesies over Japan. Let's pray for SP Seoul, a little house church there. Let's pray for Eunsung and Janice, and ask God's hand and favor upon them. And let's lift up Cambodia. Particularly pray for Oasis House and Pastor Jenny. She ministers there. Just lift up to these three countries and our friends ministering. Let's pray over our missions council. Let's ask God to have His hands upon our leaders, and that they would just really move in God's wisdom and really hear God's voice to lead us in our missional endeavors. Pray for local outreach, for Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray for our volunteers. Pray for our ministries as they go out and the people that they encounter, that Holy Spirit would lead them and there would be a real effect that happens through the ministry. Let's pray for our gatherings tonight, SPU and IP. Pray for the Lord's hand upon them as they pray God's purposes, and as they minister to college students, let's pray for our leaders, and pray that the Holy Spirit would show up and minister powerfully. And let's pray for house churches meeting tonight, McCain, McDaddy, McRobinson. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to lead, and just the presence of the Lord will be upon them. And just as they finish up this season, let them finish well. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God. We love you. We thank you for the word today. And Lord, help us to go before you first, God. Not what we want or what we desire, God, but what you want. Lord, even as Jesus, Lord, in the garden, Lord, let this cup pass from me, but not my will. Let your will be done. Let that be our heart, God. We seek you. And then when you speak, God, that we obey. Lord, this is a two-step process, Lord. And so would you help us to be faithful in that, God, and help us to grow in our godliness before you. Thank you. Watch over us, God, and particularly watch over us this whole summer, Lord, and just have your way with us, God. We thank you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. I'm leaving tomorrow, so I will see you in the middle of August. And so in the meantime, please listen to Pastor Ricky. As he takes over. God bless you guys.